Well, as you were just hearing in the headlines, there is unrest in many areas in the Middle East. We want to take a closer look at them right now. Joining us is the BBC's Middle East editor, Magdi Abdelhadi, joining us from Tunisia. Good morning, Magdi.
Good morning.
And we understand in Tunisia there is continued unrest. The protesters are calling for every single person who is part of President Ben Ali's regime to leave, to give up power and perhaps leave the country.
Precisely. The people feel as long as the prime minister and several other ministers who served the ousted president for so many years, as long as they are in power, they do not want to stop their protest. They feel that without this happening, their revolution, as they put it, would be incomplete. There is a die-hard group of people. We don't know to what extent they reflect the wider public because we don't have opinion polls. But they're determined. They're supported by the trade unions, which is a considerable constituency in Tunisia. They're determined to topple the interim government and put in its place people who have no links whatsoever with the ousted president, Zine El Abidine Ben Ali.
So are they calling for, it doesn't sound like people are necessarily calling for new elections immediately. What would happen in the power vacuum?
Well, what they're proposing is there are various ideas being floated around, a council to protect the revolution, a group of technocrats that can run the country in a transitional period until a new constitution is drawn up to ensure parliamentary democracy, limit the powers of the president, and that once that is approved, they can hold what will then be, hopefully for them, free and fair elections. You have to remember that the people are angry because they cannot trust someone who served Ben Ali, helped Ben Ali to stay in power for so long, helped Ben Ali to suppress the people and rig elections. They cannot trust those very same people to deliver democracy. So they are hoping that they will be able to put in place a transitional arrangement of independent, call it a government, call it a council, call it whatever you like. These will be technocrats, politicians, not tainted by association, who will eventually shepherd Tunisia on the way to a more inclusive and representative political system. How they will get there, we don't know yet. There is a political impasse at the moment in Tunisia.
That's Magdi Abdelhadi, who's the Middle East editor for our partner, the BBC. We're also joined by Hakim Almasmari, who's the editor-in-chief of the Yemen Post. Good morning, Hakim.
Hello. Good morning.
Can you tell us what is happening in Yemen today?
Massive protests throughout the capital, Sana'a. The opposition basically closed down the entire capital for having protests in the north of the capital, the east, the south, and the west, in every part of the capital. This is to show the government that it can gather protesters against this regime. The opposition really showed a strong message to the government today.
Okay.
Now, these protesters were very peaceful. The protests were very peaceful, and the government did not try to make it or to cause a crisis or make violence, because it knows that the people in Yemen are very well equipped with weapons, and if any chance of violence takes place during protests, people will retaliate and use force against the government, which the regime does not want to happen.
And perhaps taking a lesson both from Tunisia and from Egypt, but they're certainly taking inspiration from Tunisia. We're getting reports that people are waving the Tunisian flag and chanting pro-Tunisian slogans as they march in the streets.
The majority of the slogans that are being heard and saw on the posters are towards the Tunisian people and thanking the Tunisian people for starting this revolution that will help the people get liberty from rulers that they call our dictators. Now, since the crisis in Tunisia, Yemen has witnessed right now 9 straight days of protests, and this has never happened before in the recent history of Yemen, and the protests are expected to continue for the next weeks or even months in continuous, and this is all due to the Tunisian efforts and the people and what they did to outrule their corrupt president.
Hakim, are you free to publish in your headlines in the Yemen Post, revolution imminent in Yemen?
We are free to publish what we want, but the idea that the government sometimes uses tactics as threats and so on to influence the media to go according to what they want. Now, the thing right now is that the government is being very cautious in dealing with media because it knows and it realizes that the more strict it deals with media, the more the media will go aggressive against the government. And the government does not want that to happen, especially in these very critical days with the regime counts as probably some of the worst days in decades.
That's Hakeem Al-Masmari. He's the editor-in-chief of the Yemen Post. Let's turn back now to Magdi Abdelhadi. He's the BBC's Middle East editor. Magdi, are the people of Tunisia aware of the effect? Are they themselves thinking of themselves as inspiration for protests both in Egypt and in Yemen?
Very much so, and they're very proud, and they keep telling me, because my country of origin is Egypt, they keep pushing me good luck. Briefly, little Tunisia, no one has ever predicted that. Little Tunisia has unleashed a political tsunami that is still reverberating across the region. No one predicted that Tunisia will do that. No one predicted that the domino effect, if it is a domino effect we're seeing in Egypt and Yemen, Yemen today, will be so quick. And since no one was able to predict that, I think it would be premature and possibly dangerous to try to make any predictions to how events will unfold in Egypt and Yemen. Will they go the Tunisian way, or will these uprisings be, if they are uprising, they may not have reached that stage yet, be put down by the respective governments?
At this point, we don't entirely know how the story will end in Tunisia either, whether they will get the kind of democracy that protesters are demanding.
Precisely. And I think if they don't get what they want, there will be a widespread sentiment that they somehow, their dream of toppling the entire political class has been thwarted. But it's very unlikely that things will go back to what it used to be in the past. Tunisia is changed, and maybe forever. But how they will get from where they are now to a fresh start, a post-Ben Ali era with new government and new political class, that is precisely the nature of the dilemma facing this society.
Magdi Abdelhadi is the Middle East editor for our partner, the BBC. He was speaking to us from Tunisia. Protests today not only continuing in Tunisia, but also in Yemen and in Egypt as well.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.